I'm looking forward to bringing this message to you today. I saw something that TBN did the other night, and it really was very concerning, but more so for the church, because one pastor said one time, I think it was Pastor Bishop Clendenin, he said that the church sets the temperature for the world. The church sets the temperature for the world. What do you think? Could be. And so when TBN went out to the streets of New York, they went out and I was watching at all the journalists said was, "Do you know Jesus Christ?" And they said, "No." "Do you know Jesus Christ?" "No." "Do you know Jesus Christ?" "No." They must have asked 25 people walking down the street and couples, "Do you know Jesus Christ?" And they all said, "No." Okay, that was pretty bad. But it being in the church all these years and people that I run onto outside and being a pastor, sometimes people will maybe talk to me a little differently than they would you. I don't know, but I think sometimes they do. But it concerned me for the church because a lot of times you run on to Christians and they know Jesus as a historical Jesus. It's almost as though he is not a real living God, a real living Savior to them. And I know we've been hearing about him for over 2,000 years, and we've been hearing it a long time, and we grew up with it. And so you and I have to be very careful to teach what I'm about to give you. In fact, the book of Deuteronomy told us to share these things with our children and our children's children and talk about them, talk about these principles and talk about God and talk about Jesus when we're sitting at the table, when they're getting ready to go to bed, when you're in the car together. Talk about these things. And so, I don't know, I just saw that and I heard the word, no, I don't know him. And I'm thinking, where have we been? Are we doing our job? But you usually can't talk about somebody in a great way unless you know them. And once you know them, then it's all different to you. And so let me just go ahead and get into this today. And so we're going to go over to Peter, so you can get with me to 2 Peter. I won't go there right now. But also I heard this week of this little town, and the reason I remember the name is because my mother's family, all of our family in Texas that live in Gainesville, Texas, they're just a little few miles from Denton, Texas. And I had never heard of another town in America called Denton. Well, on the news, they said that there's this little town of 1,600 people in Denton, South Carolina. And so in this little town, the entire town lost its power. There was no power in the homes, in the streets. I mean, it was just total black at night, but no electricity, nothing going on during the day. There was a substation that had lost its power. I think something exploded. But why did that happen? Here's what they said. Now, when you and I lose our power, the first thing I think about, usually in the wintertime, I'll lose mine maybe 4 or 5 times. But most of the time, it's because somebody has hit a pole, you know, or my neighbors down on North Grand, they're always having to cut their trees. I think the city comes out and cuts their trees because they're big, I think they're olive trees, actually. They grow up high and they get mixed up in the wiring, and so they have to come by and cut those trees down so they don't hit the wires. So for us, it's usually a tree, you know, branches, or it's a car that hits a pole. But in this case, it was a snake. And they said the snake crawled up there. You know, sometimes birds will build nests around, and they didn't know if it was looking for eggs. It didn't matter what happened. But, of course, the snake got fried. But anyway, it knocked darkness all over that area. No power. And when I heard that, immediately the Holy Spirit started chatting. And I was reminded of another snake. You know the snake I'm talking about. What's his job? To try to get us in darkness. He wants to cut our power source off. If he can cut us off from God, if he can cut our connection of prayer, our connection from the Word of God, make you too busy to read the Bible, if he can make you too busy to pray, then he's just got you busy, and it won't be long that darkness will start setting in on you. I promise you that will happen. You know we've all experienced it. So if he can at all disconnect us from God, he will get darkness into your home, into those kids' lives, into your marriage. Everywhere you are, there will be darkness unless you are connected to your source. Amen? The reason we have lights on today, you say, well, yeah, there's a little switch back there. We've got power because we turned a switch on. Well, we did. But there's a power source behind that. Now, I don't know anything about that, and Robert Wood and BJ Wood, but I don't know anything about it. All I know is we have lights today, and that's a good thing. We have lights because there's a source, but we also have power in our lives, and Therma, you must be at least 50 years, 60 or something like that. And here she is. She just went through just kind of something really scary. Took herself to the hospital all by herself. I get all over her because she didn't call me. But that's a side point. I'm not hitting on you now. But I'm just telling you, look, she's here today. She's strong. She's a strong woman. What is her source? She just lost her husband a year ago or so. Was because she's connected, folks. She's connected. The devil would have liked to put her lights out. The first thing he wants to do is take you into very deep grief. And yes, we go into deep grief when our loved one dies. But then if you will give God a chance, he will extract that sting of death just like he does a bad tooth. And he'll pull that thing out. And you will still miss them. You'll still love them. But you won't have that sting of death that just literally torments you. And that's what he's after, church. And here's what, we're not going to turn over to the book of Revelation, but here's what Revelation calls him. Chapter 20, chapter 12, I think, verse 9. It says that the devil and Satan calls him that old serpent. A dragon, the accuser of the brethren. All of those in one sentence. The angel that was talking to John, he couldn't even name him in just one. He just said, just like this, the devil and Satan, that old serpent, a dragon, the accuser of the brethren. That's who he is. Now, in Adam's day, God didn't like what he did. He deceived Adam and Eve. And he was just a snake up in the tree. And God cursed him and said, from now on, you'll just crawl on your belly in the dust. And that's what he's doing. But he still comes to deceive God's people. Now, we'll get into that. I don't want to spend a lot of time right here. But why does Satan do that? You know why he does it. And we'll probably read about it. But the reason he does that is because he knows his time is what? It's just about over for him. And again, I think it is Revelation 20 where it says that one day at the end of time, Satan will be bound up with chains and dropped into the bottomless pit. Bottomless. No bottom to the pit. And he knows it. And there is a lake of fire prepared for him and his demons and his angels. When Satan was thrown out of heaven, a third of the angels went with him. They had bowed to him. Even they were deceived. It's almost mind-boggling to think. And the Bible says that there was, let me get over there and read that to you so you can see it real quick. I think that might be better. Go over. Go with me, Kathy. Because that's interesting. You need to see it. Revelation 20, verse 1. And then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and he bound him for 1,000 years, and he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up. All right? So we'll stop there. Over chapter 9, you need to look at that too, in chapter 13. But I'll tell you this about the devil. I think that he himself has been tormented ever since he heard that angel step out in the clouds of heaven and begin to announce the coming of the Lord Jesus. He announced the coming of the Messiah. Nobody knew anything that night. The shepherds are out in the field, and here this angel comes out. Peace on earth, goodwill toward all men. And then the angels sing in a choir. There were many, many other angels that joined, and they begin to sing. And Satan has been scared to death ever since, because he knew that this was a really big deal, and that we were going to have a Savior to deliver us out of everything that Adam brought to us. By one man, sin, all men had sinned. By one man's disobedience and sin, all men were brought into it. Those two new little babies I mentioned earlier, we were born into sin. What's the first word those babies are going to use as they start getting older? No, no. And they're going to tell mama no, they're going to tell the friends no. And then they're going to say, mine, mine. And they just start getting selfish, mine, with other children they don't want to share. And so that's that sinful nature. These sweet little innocent babies. And so our natures are bent like this. And so this is why parents spend all this time trying to straighten up that nature. And we can't straighten it up really outside of Jesus. But Satan knew. He knew that as much as he tried to work on Jesus, even putting him on the cross by the betrayal of Judas, with everything he did over the years, he could never bring darkness to the Son of God. He never could bring that darkness to him. And because Jesus was victorious over darkness, so are you and I. So we don't have to stay in that. In fact, John said you just can't be in darkness and be in light. You can't. So light has filled us up. So if we're in darkness, there is a problem. There's something going on. But 10 times out of 10, it's the devil tormenting and trying to disconnect you. But church, listen, let me say it one more time. You cannot disconnect from God. I don't care what's going on in your family. I don't care what's going on in your finances or wherever you are. You cannot disconnect from him. Some people get hurt or something happened and they quit coming to church. Look for an excuse not to come to church. And you're disconnecting. You say, oh no, I watch TV at home. It's just difference. He said, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. There are people that are assembled all over the world right now. Now, in the world at different times, but right now, Porterville churches are assembled together, and God's people. We've only got one place to come where we all meet. Oh, you can go have a Bible study in a restaurant with somebody. You can pray at home. But the church house, the building, that's where we come. And the saints all gather in. It's symbolic of the people of God. It is symbolic of who he is. And he says, they worship me. They love me. They read about me. They listen to the word of God about me. We cannot disconnect. We cannot ignore him. If you ignore him and to be led of the Spirit, you don't push him. I think today a lot of us try to lead him. We don't lead him, we follow him. And life is a lot easier when you follow him and you're not trying to drag him along with whatever you're doing. I'm telling you, that's just good for a big old mess. All right, let's go over to 2 Peter now, and I'll show you this. Now, this word has stood the test of time. You've got prophecies of the Old Testament, and they are fulfilled in the New. every prophecy that was ever prophesied is fulfilled. It's just about, did you know? Now, I haven't counted them. But over and over through the years, there's many, many prophecies that were fulfilled. They say 27 prophecies were fulfilled on the cross that day. Between Jesus being in the garden and the things he said on the cross, the things the soldiers did, the betrayals, 27 prophecies were fulfilled that day. So though the Bible says, I think it's in Isaiah 40 and 8, though the grass withers and the flower fades, my word will never pass away. My word will forever stand. Let the grass wither, let the flower fade, but my word never, ever fades. It's always the same. Amen? It's powerful, it's strong, and it's a healing word. Hallelujah. All right, look, let's go down here to what Peter said. So how do you know Jesus is real? How do you know? You weren't there. Well, how do you know George Washington was president? Because he's all over the history books, and we were taught that in school, and everybody told us, therefore we believe it. But when we came into the four Gospels, and you start at Matthew, it says, and this is the beginning of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And then you go on into the next book, and it says, and this is the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. And then it goes on in the book of Acts, and he says, oh, Theophilus, I am going to tell you about the things that Jesus Christ both began to do and teach. And it was all about Jesus, this New Testament. And then you go into all of the letters, and it's all about, I'm an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. They open it, first line, I am an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a bond servant. Even his own half-brother, James, said, I am a bond servant. Isn't that the sweetest? I'm a bond servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Someday, just look at every first line of every book. Yesterday, I wrote them all down. But basically, it's what I just told you. I could have taken time to read them, but it's interesting to read. So the gospel has been started, okay? Jesus lived under the law of Moses his entire life, 30 years, until he died and was buried and resurrected. And when he was resurrected, I can't even imagine, Jesus kept all those laws of Moses. He did all the ceremonies, all the cleansings, and they didn't do anything on the Sabbath. I mean, nothing. And yet, Jesus heals a man on the Sabbath day. They're walking through the fields, and Jesus plucked corn on the Sabbath. What? And Jesus did a lot of things that he wouldn't have done under the law. So he came from the law to grace. And now he's under grace. I can't even imagine, outside of him being the Son of God, that he could go so smoothly from the law into grace. And the amazing thing is he took us with him. So whatever you've done, it's under his blood this morning. It's under his blood. You're righteous in him. If you were saved and you're not living in a sinful life, then you are saved and blood-bought and a righteous man and woman of God. So Peter here, he wants to remind the people. Now, he had walked and talked with Jesus, okay? He was one of the apostles. He was a disciple. So read 2 Peter. Let's start verse 12. So Peter is one of the great teachers, a mighty man full of the Holy Ghost. At first, he had his foot in his mouth all the time until the Holy Ghost came. But look at 2 Peter 1 and 12. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. He said, you all know what it's like. Jesus died and you watched him. You saw what he did. So he said, you're taken in this present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, or he means in his body, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly, I must put off this tent or this body, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. So that's why he wrote them. He said, I'm getting ready to die. Jesus has let me know that this is going to happen, but I want to leave this reminder with all of you followers of the Lord. And so I see this, and I'm just bringing Peter's reminder because he wants me to remind you, and he wants other pastors. He wants us to be reminded when we read his word. Look at verse 16. This would be a good thing to teach your children and grandchildren so they know, yes, Jesus is real. There were real witnesses. Now look at this. Peter speaking in verse 16. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when me and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and all the others, the apostles and the disciples, we didn't follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were, look, eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father, honor and glory when such a voice came to him, Jesus, from the excellent glory, saying this, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Look, I've always loved this. This is one of my favorite words right here, this one sentence. Look, and we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. How many say the bright morning star is risen in your heart? Amen? Because you're born again. Look at verse 20. Knowing this first, they got the helmet of salvation on, and he's in your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. You just can't say anything you want to about it. And the disciples didn't make this thing up. He said it wasn't ours to make up. All right, look at verse 21. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Amen? All right. I don't know. I'm just amazed at these glorious things that are right here. But we must share these things, church. You've got to say, hey, I'd like to show you something. Have you seen this? You want to see a witness? Not everybody, you know, they have a hard time believing Jesus because they've never seen him. They've never heard him speak out loud to them. And so it's amazing that people either, you know, and he speaks to our heart that Christian adults sometimes just totally ignore him and ignore the truth of his word. All right, I want us to read on down. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be. There will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. How will they do it? Secretly. They're just, Peter said in another part of the word, in the last part of his book, that they would come in unaware. Like, they would just come in unaware. People wouldn't even know they're there. So they'll come in secretly in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. Now, let me tell you what a heresy is. Here's what heresies mean. He said they will secretly bring destructive heresies to you. One day, I got a note on my desktop in the office, and it said I had malware. So I ran out there to Rick, and I said, what's malware? And so here's, let me tell you what, it'll all come together right here. But the word heresy means anything, a doctrine, or any word that is contrary to God's word. How many know we've got a whole world today that walks contrary to this, and we better be aware and alert to what is contrary to this word. Now, the Bible doesn't say you can kill babies, right? It's not up for abortion. It's not up for a discussion on marriage between two men or two women. Marriage is between one man and one woman. Marriage, the word of God makes it clear that we have total freedom of speech. Okay, so you, when you hear these things, I'm hearing people all the time being deceived. Well, I'm gonna vote my heart. Oh, are you kidding? Do you know how wishy-washy our hearts are sometimes, or our minds get involved? You better vote this. What's the Bible say about it? God doesn't care what you think. He doesn't care, but he does care who runs our country. And it isn't about, again, I'm telling you, it's old hat now, but it's not about Republican and Democrat, but it is about good and evil. And when you listen to these characters speak, see if they are speaking evil or good. Are they for the people or are they not? Okay, so what's going on? It's got to be according to the word. He's pro-life. He's pro-freedom of speech. I can tell you right now. Because he said these guys speak, they just come in unaware and they bring these false doctrines, this heresy, this is what it means, contrary to the word and a denial of the truth. They deny the truth of the word. The Bible says this. What did the serpent say to Eve? Did God say? God didn't say you could eat of that tree. You know, he deceives her. He talks her into it. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. It looked really good. So here's the word. And then it says, wait a minute, let me get down here. Chapter 2, and many will follow, many, 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 even in the church. I hear pastors on TV that are following along with some of this trash talk. I'm like, where have you guys been? Do you ever read your Bible? Are you going to lead your people astray? No, but they're going to have more people in the church probably. They're going to have everybody tithing and giving. They're afraid they're going to hurt somebody's feelings. Look, I'm more worried about our souls and our nation and being our rights being taken away. Whether you like her or not, I'll say this. Melania Trump. She came on Facebook. She's a quiet woman, never says anything. She has been ridiculed, put down, and act like she is less, talked about as though she is less than a woman. Okay? But she came on and said, what happened to us at Mar-a-Lago, the way they came in and bombarded our home and invaded our privacy, even my own personal privacy and my son's. She said, I'm just telling you, if we let that go, it just started with us. It'll be with you very soon. But somebody will not even grab that because they want to save their own thoughts or the way I was raised. I don't care. I was raised a Democrat. And this isn't all about a Democrat. It's about who's right and who's wrong. Church, it says they are slipping in unaware. You can drop your head and not like what I'm saying. I don't care because I'm still going to bring the word of the Lord to you. Amen. But there were also, let's see, verse 2, and many will follow their destructive ways. Somebody say amen. They're doing it already. Because of whom the way of truth shall be blasphemed. The way of truth is being blasphemed every single day. I mean, if we talked about the way some of God's word is being blasphemed, I wouldn't even say those things in the house. It's heart-wrenching to hear how these things, the The truth is being blasphemed. Look at verse 3. And by covetousness, what? Jealousy. They will exploit you. How will they exploit you? With deceptive words. For a long time, Peter says this by the word of God. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. He said, it's going to come anyway, unless they turn their hearts around. Now, look, we don't want anyone to die lost. I pray for our presidents. Romans 13 tells us to pray for our presidents. Yes, we pray for them. But when they're leading you off into a cliff to fall down and destroy your nation, you still pray for them, but you don't follow them. You don't go after them anymore. So what does the word heresy mean? It means, or to exploit. To exploit means, listen, a software tool to take advantage of a flaw in your computer system for malicious purposes, such as installing malware. We get fake stuff come through our computers all the time. Some people will answer it. Rick taught me not to answer those things. But they come to, just like that, to exploit us with deceptive words that sound so sweet, so kind, so innocent, but God says, I've got an eye on them. No, my judgment is not idle, and I'm not slumbering, so don't think I am. So turn your page over to just to the right. Turn over to John and look at this. You know Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. It's an old message. Those of you that's been in the church a long time, I'm sure you've heard that message called Beware of the Dogs. Paul says, look, he said, it's tedious for me to talk these things to you. Why don't you go ahead and put that up, Kathy? Philippians 3, verses 1 and 2. Paul said, it's tedious for me to talk about these things to you. And I feel that too, just talking about these things. It is. It's tedious for us to do that. But look, but for you it is safe. It's a safe place for us. Oh, no, no, university is safe. We got safe places. We can go do our color books if we. No, he said, this word is safe for you. And look at the next verse. Beware of the dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of mutilators, mutilation. Beware. Watch out. Peter's begging us, be careful. They come in unaware. They'll just slither right in like a snake. The snake closed our churches down in almost all of America. But you wait. God will have the last hand. And you wait until you see what he, when he loses his glory to come on the church. You just wait until that's done. But for right now, he said, keep your eyes open. You be awake. And you be sober. And you be vigilant. Because that devil, like a roaring lion, goes to and fro throughout the earth seeking someone that he can devour. Okay, if you're asleep, you're not paying attention, you're ignoring, you're never reading your Bible, the lights aren't on, then guess what? These dogs, these evil workers, the mutilators, they're literally, now here it was talking about, can't think of the word. But today they're literally mutilating babies. I'm sorry, that word. No, when the baby boys are born. I'm so sorry. Thank you. Circumcision is what it was talking about. But Paul said, look, they're putting us down because we've not been circumcised. Because they're under, Paul was, but the guys he's working with weren't. And he said, they're putting us down and they're calling us dogs. But he said, you know, we've been circumcised of the heart. Our hearts have been circumcised. Cut off the flesh. Cut off the flesh. That's our hearts. So he has touched us, church. So we really got to be careful, especially in this day. I know every generation's had to watch this, but believe on Jesus, believe on his word. Okay, now look at John. Here's another witness. 1 John 1:1-5. I'm closing here. Eyewitnesses, look at John. 1 John 1:1-5. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, that's just what Peter said, we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, that means they touched him, they received things from his hand, they gave him things, we've handled him concerning the word of life. Look at that capital W, that's him. He is the word. Verse 2, the life, his life, the life, eternal life, was manifested, and we have seen, and we bear witness, and we declare to you that eternal life, which was from the Father, was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare that to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. Look at this next line. We want you to have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So he says, I just want you to know who we have fellowship with, and we want you to fellowship with us. So be careful who you fellowship with. Peter and John said fellowship with us. That means fellowship with the word. Now, you mean fellowship with our Christian friends. We don't do that enough. We should do much more. But stay with those. Verse 4, and these things we write to you that your joy might be full. Verse 5, this is the message which we have heard from him. We got it. He says we got it from him. And declare to you that God is light. Look, read this with me. And in him there is what? No darkness at all. So this is why we have to stay totally connected to him and to his word. You can't disconnect, because he said, you keep your little self right here with me, because there's no darkness in me whatsoever. Now, the Bible says, John says this, and then Peter said it too, that we've seen him. We heard him. And I think it is so sweet that they say this, Laura. You all, there was people after Jesus died that they were ministering to. They said, you have never seen him. You've never heard him speak. You never went fishing with him. You never had breakfast with him. But you love him. You've never seen him. You've never heard him. And then he looked way on down into time, into generations like us. There will be a people who has never seen him, but they love him and they obey him and they serve him with all their hearts. Blessed are those who have not seen me, and yet they have believed. He disciplined Thomas. He says, Thomas, do you now love me because you've seen me? And then Jesus says, oh, blessed are those who have not seen me, and yet they have believed. We're a blessed, blessed people. Sweet Jesus, help us, Lord. Do you believe Jesus? Look, if you have a hard time believing that he lives inside you, or that he is, or this word is actually his. I just read some witnesses to you today. I just read some testimonies. And so with that, it should help you. But if you do still have a problem, ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Holy Ghost, help me to receive this word. But read it. Read it. People say, oh, I wish I had all that word in me. Well, there's only one way you can get it, and that's read it. It's the only way you can. And sometimes you're talking to somebody, and something will come out of you, and you're like, where did that come from? I didn't know I knew that. It's because you were feeding it in. You remember. You may not have quoted it just right, but you remember what the Bible says. Father, thank you for your mighty word. Keep us connected, Holy Spirit. You know that we're down here, and we do have a lot of stuff go on. Every single day, there's stuff to disturb us. There's negative things around us. Lord, there's so much junk going on in the news. And yet, Lord, you love every one of us, and you love every one of those people that are doing wrong. Yes, those that are trying to slip in, every snaky person, you love them, and they will have a chance to find you. Yes, they will. They will hear the gospel if they haven't already. So they'll have a chance. But you said, my judgment won't be idle. My judgment won't be idle. And so, Lord, I thank you this morning. We pray for every person, Lord, to find you. I know there's Christians all over in Washington, D.C., in the Capitol building, in the White House. Lord, there's Christian cooks, there's Christian drivers. There's Christian congressmen, there's Christian senators, there's Christians, there's Catholics, Catholics all around. In fact, our president now, President Biden, is a Catholic. Lord, they're all around. But I pray that there will be such a heavy conviction that will fall on this earth, conviction in your glory, heavier than COVID came. And when it shut down things and made it dark, you'll turn on the lights. And every church will be overflowing with people. We'll have to build more churches, larger churches, when your glory comes in like a flood. Hallelujah. While every head is bowed, can I ask you right now, do you know Jesus? If you don't know him and you say, I've walked away. I'm not where I used to be with him. I want to know him. I want to believe him. But I had a hard time. I lost some things. And I don't really believe him anymore. I thought if he loved me, this wouldn't have happened. Why don't you come today and let me hold your hand and take you right back to him? He's not mad at you. I don't care what you did, where you were. He'll take you. He'll love you. He'll come into your heart. He'll change your life. In fact, he changed Ricky's life last Sunday after those cardboard testimonies. Ricky came up, gave his heart to Jesus. He's here today. He was here Wednesday night. He turned his life over from like a hard playing metal, hard rock music to easy listening. And God has touched him. I know, I look at you and look like I see most of God's regular people here today. But is there any? Maybe you're God's man or God's woman. You've loved him all these years, but I'll never forget when I was a young girl, about 18, in the church. There's an old man that had been in the church. He'd been there since I was a little girl, and I'd always seen him every single service and three times a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays and both times on Sunday. But he was dying, and when he was on his dying bed, he told his wife, he says, I want you to go get that little black-headed girl, Paulette. You tell her to come down here. I want to tell her something. Now, I was way too young to hear what I was about to hear. He says to me on that dying bed, and he was always with his wife. This is brother and sister so-and-so. He says to me, you know, sweetheart, he said, I've been in church all these years, and I don't know Jesus. He said, I never went to the altar. Sometimes I go up with her, but he goes, I've done everything wrong. I never served the Lord. Because you ask my friends, they know they might call me a hypocrite. I have been a hypocrite. I've been right there and don't know him. Oh, my little heart was just, that was the worst thing. I couldn't hardly believe it. But I didn't let him know it. And I said, well, brother, listen, God can just take care of that. He'll take you in right now and act as though nothing ever happened. He will love you and call you his son. He's not angry at you. He's not mad. He goes, are you sure? I go, I know I'm sure. Because 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins before him, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you. He will cleanse you, brother so-and-so. He will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And he said, I want to do that. I want to do that. I don't know why he hadn't told his pastor, but we confessed his sins and he became a new creature right there. You'd look over at him during the service and the pastor said, brother, I don't know what happened to you, but something new happened. He would just cry every service. I'm not trying to embarrass you, but it'd be better if you came now than try to meet me at the back door and say, let's pray, because there's really power in obedience. So I'll wait just one more minute because you're very, very important. If you want to come to Jesus, I'll be right here with you, and the saints love you, and it doesn't matter how long you've been here. Okay. All right. Well, we'll leave it right there. Are you sure? Gosh, I would just hate to go out of here. You know, my dad fell from a tree 12 feet to his death on a Monday morning, and the preacher preached the message on Sunday morning, and the message was, who will be next to answer the call? And it was my daddy. He was next to answer the call, but he was right with the Lord. He was saved. He was ready to go. Are you ready? I'm just asking one more time, are you ready to go? You ready for your blessing? Come on and be blessed today. I love you all so much. Thank you for being at Landmark. The Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you. Turn his face towards you. Turn his beautiful countenance towards you. And give you peace in your home, your mind, your heart, your family, your love life. And all that pertains to your family. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Don't forget to read your Bible this week and pray.